Yo, 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 you already know who it is. Price, bruh. Migos Podcast coming to you again, weekly episode. And today, you know, we got to talk a little bit of MLB, get y'all a little sprinkle of some NFL, talk a little WWE, a little primetime. Also, we got to talk about primetime in NFL, but Dallas is a big thing right now. And we're going to do all of that right now. Bruh, Migos Podcast, and I'm going to go ahead and do what, bruh?
Hit that goddamn music.
4, 3, 2, 1, go. All right, and here we go. So look, we know divisional round. We know what the hell y'all came here for. Y'all want to know what are Price and Rob thinking about the divisional round. So this is what we're going to tell you. So look, I'm going to go first. I'm going to let you know right now I'm picking Pat Mahomes for the win. All right, because he's Patrick goddamn Mahomes, okay? I got Detroit beating Washington, okay? I got Philly over the Rams because Matt Stafford is 1-8 in the snow, and I don't think that it's going to change today. And then I'm picking Baltimore to upset Buffalo in Buffalo. What about you, Rob?
I'm going to take Texans for the upset. I'm going to take the Ravens to basically beat the Bills because, you know, Lamar, solidarity. And then take the Lions, and I'm going to take the Eagles basically to sell that NFC matchup. So let's talk about really something that's going on.
Okay.
Let's go.
So what's on your mind?
America. You've seen this show. You've seen this face. You've seen that face. Mm-hmm. You've heard us talk about baseball. And you've heard me talk about the Dodgers, especially when it was the World Series run, especially when, you know, they were signing free agents. And we were just basically casually talking. And I'm like, you know what? We this is this team that basically messes up. This is the team that basically finds a way to basically take, you know, the jaws of defeat or victory out the jaws, of whatever it is. You know what I, you know the word. But basically, these team finds a way to lose. And so, catch you up. Roki Sasaki, if you guys aren't aware of, he is the absolute dynamo. If you watch the World Baseball Classic, he was one of the best players for Japan outside of Shohei. This man is a fucking beast. I think he's like 23. And he basically got let up out of his contract early to basically come over here to the States. So you're thinking to yourself, why is Rob bringing that name up? Why would Rob even talk about that right now? It's NFL time. We're supposed to be talking about NFL. Well, you know what? Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. This is why. Because Roki Sasaki basically said, I'm going to work with my countrymen, and I'm going to go to the Los Angeles Dodgers. And you know what I say to that? Nate, ask me, what do I say to that?
What do you say to that, bro?
Say, fuck you, Dodgers. This is the time to hate. I have been political enough talking about this fucking team. Because here's the thing. When it comes to this team, even if they have stacked talent, even if they win 120 games, they find a way to lose. But the thing about it is, when they signed Blake Snell, when they basically got, you know, Shohei, got all these different players, I'm like, all right, they gotta basically lose somewhere. Something's gotta be that hole that basically, you know, gets it to where somebody else can win. But here's the thing. When you plug in a 23-year-old top free agent rookie that basically is going to fucking kill because he fucking killed in the World Baseball Classic, and now you got that, Shohei, and Yamamoto basically being your top three pitchers, this is the time to call to arms to hate. Hate, 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 hate. This is the time to do it. You looking at me. Me looking at you. You need to start hating on this team. Get with us. Come with us. Join our fleet. We need to hate this team. There is no more talking over. There is no more basically being civil about this. These motherfuckers being greedy. Goddamn greedy. And what is greed? What is greed, Nate?
It's whenever you're doing too much, goddamn it. It's whenever you over there taking everything away from anybody else that could get this. And that's what they're doing right now.
Absolutely. Being fucking greedy. They need to fucking stop. All right. Somebody's got to basically get some other pitches, okay? Roki Sasaki, I ain't saying he could be a Cardinal, but it'd been fucking nice. I ain't saying he'd be a Red Sox, but it'd be fucking nice. Why? Because he wouldn't have been a fucking Dodger. And you know what? This is the time that we need to come together as a people, as a fandom, as a fucking collective society that come together and basically stop against the tyranny of this this team, the Chavez Ravine motherfuckers that basically live over there in South California, they need for us to hate. Tony Tone Tone said what? It doesn't rain in Southern California. We need to rain hate on these motherfuckers. Rain hate. Everybody. All of us. You, me, him, ma'am. Spirit bomb. Hate spirit bomb. Needs to basically shadow Southern California right now, right over where the Dodgers play. And you know what? It pains me. Absolutely pains me to hate this team because I love Mookie Betts. I love Shohei. Love Freddie Freeman. Love so many people on this team. I even fuck with Dave Roberts. I just hate everything about them. I hate the way they walk. I hate the way they talk. I hate the way they act. Everything about them is what I hate. Hate, hate, hate. I hate it on them. You can look at me and look at this Batman shirt and know that everybody, every part of this is hating on that team right now. Absolutely hating. You should be hating too. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. I am mad. I don't know if y'all know that, but I am mad.
It's quite mad.
Just so pissed.
It's quite crazy to see that they signed Rory Sasaki. 23 years old, triple digit arm fastball, unbelievable splitter.
Unbelievable.
Okay. Unbelievable splitter. And to say he's going into that rotation
with two of the other best pitchers that you ever seen.
And to say they just came off of a World Series where one of their best pitchers did not pitch and he hit for the entire season, had a tremendous season, 50-50 club, first of his kind. But this guy now can go out there, he can pitch, he can hit, and they now have another ace in the bullpen at 23 years old. Not to mention, we just talked about the work that they did to back in Shohei's contract so they could defer all of that money.
Which is also cheating.
And they went and made a move like this.
Like, where is the MLBPA? Where are you? You are y'all. Smoke them out.
Rob, I just got to say this. Dick Dastardly must do the books over there to figure out all of these loopholes that they got, because they have figured out how to swindle at every move to make sure that this team is going to be that good, bro.
Evil Dodger Boo.
Who? First of all, I want to know who's doing y'all financial books. It has to be Dick Dastardly, bro.
Lex Luthor. Dick Dastardly
with it. Probably might be Lex Luthor over there doing their books. Because who else comes up with something like this and says, you know what? I'm going to backhand a lot of Shohei's contract and make it even less than Harper's and them contract. And guess what? Whenever nobody makes a move at Rory Sasaki, I'm going to go over there and collect him like an Infinity Stone. And I'm going to just level up. Level up. I'm looking to win 100 plus games this season. I'm looking to have a pitcher, a 23-year-old who came in, if you guys don't know about Rory Sasaki. Rory Sasaki basically threw two back-to-back, like, flawless games, pretty much. He has a 2.02 ERA. He pitched like 414 or 491 innings, and he had a crazy amount of strikeouts with only like 91 walks. The guys, he's the next one that's just, matter of fact, I'll go ahead and I'll tell y'all exactly what he did, okay? So in 4 years in Japan, he had a 2.10 ERA, a 0.89 whip, 505 strikeouts, 88 walks in 394 innings. And in 1-2-game stretch in April of 2022, he twirled a perfect game, highlighted by 13 consecutive strikeouts, which is a record over there, and followed that with 8 innings pitched perfectly. This is the guy that the Dodgers just picked up. Okay? And we're talking 23 years old. He has time.
I hate them. I hate them. Hate.
I can understand.
Hate. Hate. Hate them. I can't stay it, y'all. Sasaki, Ohtani, Yamamoto, Glasnow, Snell, May, Kershaw, Gosselin.
Told you they've collected two Infinity Stones worth of people.
Like, think about it. They can basically let up two really good pitchers. Well, three Infinity really good. I mean,
their rotation is going to be wicked. This is going to be wicked. I'm telling you now, the Dodgers, I'm going to throw this out there. Let's see. The Dodgers had, let's see, you had how many in 2020 for the 2024 season? What we had? How many were they? Had 98? They were 98 and 64?
I can't remember.
I'm going to say, yeah, I found it. I'm going to say they're going to win at least 105 games this year. 105, 108 maybe. They're going to up their winnings. I think that they're going to get above 100 and be under 60 losses this year. They're going to do it. In that division, even with San Diego winning 93 this year, Arizona winning 89, I think that they're about to come out here and put up probably 105, 108. They're going to go stupid.
How could y'all let this happen, MLB? I'm sorry. I keep on dwelling on it. No.
Well, I could tell you. Right now, it's because of teams like the Blue Jays. They have them. They could make something. But the Blue Jays do what the Blue Jays do. They go out there. They go buy their one lottery ticket. And then go home and sleep at night and say, I took a chance.
Those motherfuckers basically, like, they just say to themselves, I'm just going to be in the game somehow, some way. Like, that, they don't say shit else. Like, I'm just going to be in the game somehow. Like, y'all ain't going to basically be able to tell me that I ain't do shit.
But I'm going to tell you that you ain't do shit.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to say it too. Because, like, y'all been in the game for every goddamn body, ain't got one. Like, yeah.
You can't lose them all, Rob. You can't keep losing them all. So something is going on. It either has to be lack of effort or they really don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something, dog. Like, it's, you know what? It's just like, at least y'all trying to be aggressive. At the very least, at least y'all trying to be aggressive. It's just that, damn, dog. Every single time, y'all don't make it work.
I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. But we're going to switch gears and let Rob, you know, probably go up a gear when we talk about this. So, in the NFL, you know, it's a lot of things that we want to talk about, including, you know, Prime. We're going to get to that in a minute. But before we get there, you know, there's a person in this podcast, you know, it's like my brother, and his team has been officially eliminated. We've yet to see if my team will be eliminated, Kansas City. But, you know, Rob, I want to talk about your feelings. I want to know what are your feelings right now about the Vikings? How does Rob feel?
See, I didn't realize this was going to be a therapy session, but be it, you know, the psychology major that I am. But I will say this. So I'll start with this. Even though you guys basically now have basically talked about him, feel some type of way about him, and you know, he kind of made you feel like you were vindicated. But I will say this. Sam Darnold has slain the dragon of doubt. Because so many people, I've said it before, I'll say it again. So many people said that this wasn't going to work out with him. That it was rebuilding. That it's like, man, what's going on? What's going on with your team, Rob? And all this kind of stuff. Like, I'm like, and the whole time I was like, this is the best chance he's ever had. We don't know. I don't know how it's going to work out, but this is his best chance. He's got great receivers. He has a great team around him. We picked up a lot of good free agents. We basically retooled this team. It's going to be something. And what he did, went out there, and he did pretty good. I mean, he did good. Like, I don't think you can look at this season as far as the totality of the season, except for the last 2 weeks, and say that this season was a failure for Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold played well, made absolutely great throws. Up and down the field, put us in games, kept us in games, all that. The only bad game I would say, like bad, that he really had outside of the Lions and the Rams game was the Jaguars, where they basically came in drunk for whatever reason. The whole team was just drunk, it seems like. But like outside of that, everything Sam Darnold did was good. He made things shake. He made this team work, especially coming in, learning the system. Like, it wasn't like he was the backup for, like, years. He was the backup for, like, he was really the backup for, like, a few weeks. And then basically came in and became the starter because who was going to basically be projected as a starter got hurt and basically didn't play this season, J.J. McCarthy. But he slayed the dragon of doubt. But what we didn't know is that dragon basically was a fucking zombie, came back, chomped his ass right in front of the world and God itself, God himself. The last two games, absolutely, it was basically like a carbon copy of each other. That nigga basically could not, would not throw. I didn't say could not. It was part of it, it was a could not. Most of it was a would not. That motherfucker was holding on to the ball, especially in the Lions game. I'm yelling at my TV, throw the goddamn ball. What the fuck are you doing? Throw the goddamn ball. Like the Rams game, there was a few times. Throw the goddamn ball. What are you doing? There was a Rams there was a Vikings announcer, radio announcer. Throw the goddamn ball. Like, he was just, I don't know if he was overthinking it. I don't know if he just got the lemon booty. I don't know what happened to him. Basically, he just nutted up at the wrong possible time, and it hurt us. And then basically the team followed that. Now, you would think to yourself, Rob is very sad about this. Rob will not be able to go on about this. Baby, I'm a Vikings fan. This ain't nothing but par for the course. I absolutely feel great about this team. Like, contrary to popular belief, that was probably the best loss that I ever seen in my entire life. That Rams loss. Because here's why. All else fails. Like, you talk about, like, people talk about, oh, well, Sam Darnold fucked himself over out of $50 million. Maybe. I don't think he was ever going to get that much money or anything like that, like, as a high-end starter. But what, I think it was either Matt Miller or Ian Rappaport, somebody basically from NFL.com reported that chances are he's going to get in, like, the $35 million range, which is, like, a notch above Baker Mayfield. And it's still good as far as, like, mid-tier to upper-mid-tier starter. So, like, that's where Sam probably, like, notched himself down to, but he wasn't going to get much more than that. I don't think he was going to get much more than, like, $40 million for a season. Because it was one season, and it was basically with an all-pro receiver in Justin Jefferson, a really good receiver in Jordan Addison, and then basically TJ Hockenson, Aaron Jones, and a bunch of cast of characters basically coming up and helping him. But speaking of TJ Hockenson, Nate, on the overtime, you were basically trying to convince me that basically this Lions team was not going to be able to beat the Vikings. You thought it was going to be a shootout, and you thought that we had a chance to win. And my black ass basically was there, being the doubter and everything like that. But I was right. And here's why I was right, though. And even more than what the show game actually showed. We literally have not beaten the Lions since we got TJ Hockenson. We got TJ Hockenson November 1st, 2022. The last Vikings win that we had against the Lions was like, I think it was like September of 22. It was like the game before that. Like, we legitimately have not beaten this team in a very fucking long time. This or long enough time that basically, especially against a division rival, that basically I don't like it. Because, like, before that, I think we won like 8 of 9 games against the Lions. Granted, they were crap. But it was the fact of the matter of we were winning those games, and then Dan Campbell came in and basically tore us a new one. But it hasn't been even, and we have not been. And they've had our number. Of all the teams in the world, they've had our numbers. Like them, the Eagles, maybe the 49ers here and there. But like, actually, we've been beating the 49ers. But like, this team has had our number, and I just couldn't let that shit go. But that's why. But that brings me to another point, I'm gonna let you speak, but let me finish out my points because I got a few of them. We need to trade TJ Hockenson. We need to trade this because this has to stop. The common denominator is this nigga. Whether he plays or whether he's not, he's on our roster, and basically he is giving us bad juju. Something happened where basically we cannot get over the edge with this nigga. We need to get rid of that nigga just so we can basically get back to normal. All right. Because we haven't won with him. All right. He was supposed to be the great tight end that basically was going to help us get over the hump. And it was like, hey, why are the Lions trying to get rid of him? Because they go draft Sam LaPorta and basically reboost the offense. But it was this thing of they gave him away. We got him and have not been able to beat them with him. Now, whether that's him, even though he did score a touchdown against the Rams, but like he like whether that's with him, whatever it is, this motherfucker cannot have us beat them. So we need to get rid of him. Also, offensive guard, defensive tackle. Those two positions, offensive guard, defensive priorities. Tackle, need to be the absolute priorities for this team. Want to know why? Because they kept beating us up the middle. That was both the Lions and the Rams, which...
Yes, they did.
Which, happened enough, those are the only two teams that beat us this season. Like, the only two teams out of the four losses that we have came against those two. I've never seen that. 14 wins or whatever it was. Two losses against two teams. But basically, we need to get that. We need to get offensive guard, interior lineman, center, whatever. That needs to be the emphasis. Also, we were not getting any pressure up the middle. Whereas a lot of times there was just a log jam where basically you're trying to shoot the A gaps. Nothing's there because we got a bunch of big, heavy motherfuckers clogging in. And that's all they really did. The Rams did it, the Lions did it, and it seemed like that was the way to mitigate things. Other teams. Yeah. Just will happen not to do it. But those should be our emphasis. But if we are lucky to keep Brian Flores, if we are basically exercising the demon of having TJ Hockenson, we get JJ basically some time, maybe bring in Daniel Jones or keep Daniel Jones and basically keep on going with him. And or keeps if Sam Darnold comes in with a nice price, we got plenty of cap room, so we got something to spare. If we could keep those things together, draft well, get Mekhi Beckman, I can't remember his last name, but Mekhi back as a corner, basically we're going to lose. We got a lot of free agents, especially like our top three corners. We can still be good, but I'm excited to see where we go because this is the first step and a good start to where we are, but it's still to the point of there's some work that needs to be done. And some niggas need to be signed. And Kwesi, gonna get on it. I know you can do it. You did it. I'm gonna not believe you when some shit fall apart. But right now, I am in the belief. So if we're looking at the chart, I'm in the belief file. Right there for you. I'm right there with you. You are my belief. But don't get on that side. All right? Don't get on that side. All right? Just stay over here.
Okay. So this is what I'm gonna say. Yes, I did. Because I believe that Sam Darnold was going to be Shane Falco at the end of the movie and not the beginning of the movie, Shane Falco, where we learned about all of his mishaps in his bowl game and how bad he was. I thought he was going to be ending Shane Falco, you know? But to make one even better, that you speak of American and American Pie, he was Jim Levinstein whenever Nadia showed up. He had to let that thing go quick whenever he seen and he couldn't control himself, and then those guys just jumped on him and it was nothing that he could do.
It's right.
And it happened so quick. He was like, oh my God, I don't know what happened. They were all over me. And this is what happened to him. And with this happening to Sam Darnold, I believe that he will be a Raider. Okay? I believe that the Raiders are probably going to give him 30 or 35 mil because Aiden O'Connell needs to go to the side because the Raiders are going to say, look, he only got beat by two teams. Okay? And we can get him here. We can make something happen because the Raiders aren't destitute right now. They're probably a quarterback away from starting to be competitive. And they'll say, well, Sam is a cheaper price quarterback. We'll have room. They can probably try to draft McMillan. And this is something that they can work on. This is what I believe could happen. But yes, he went full on Jim Levinstein whenever he was out there in both games back to back. And it went quickly for him. And you would think that, you know, after it happened the first time, he would have learned from the first time. You know, he'd have been ready the second time, but he wasn't.
I'll be honest, bro. You said before the show that I wouldn't believe your analogy. You were right. I didn't see that shit coming at all.
Yeah, told you, bro. I told you. But I just knew that he could have been Shane Falco at the end of the movie and make the throws, make this happen. But what happened? Couldn't do it. He was bowl game. He was, matter of fact, I think that they called it the Sugar Bowl and the thing. He was Sugar Bowl. Shane Falco, where he was hearing footsteps, and they just got him. And it happened twice, back to back. Yeah. And I don't know how he could let this happen.
Yeah.
He just let this happen to him. But I do believe that a team like the Raiders will take a chance on it because the Raiders are in destitute. They need a quarterback. They need to be, like, somewhat, like, in the conversation because they lost games to teams where they were right there. Mm-hmm. And just couldn't win. Because the other day I went through the list of things, 12 games for them, and they had something like 8 games where they were within 10 points. It was 10 points or fewer that they lost. So it was like you won 3 or 4 games. You could have won 10, 11 games if you win those games. So, yeah. Why not go and draft a guy who looks like he's making a bit of a resurgence? Give him a shot. You draft a receiver. You have Brock Bowers there. You have Max Crosby on the defensive side. Might work.
I mean, they got a lot of cap space. They're picking number 4, which, to be real, like, they could either go out to get a receiver like T-Mac out of Arizona or Travis Hunter, like, because they really need a corner. So
yeah, I'm thinking that they're going to go the route of we're picking T-Mac and we're going to roll with him, which, hey, it's one of those things. I think that it could work for them. They do this, they win, they're back in some respectable form. You know, Al Davis isn't doing cartwheels in his grave right now, like he's probably been doing for years, and they can make this happen. Now that I've got those analogies out of the way, it's time to talk about Prime Time Football with the Dallas Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? How about them Cowboys? Nah, it's not even really like that. But we do have to talk like about that. Prime Time. Yeah, it kind of is. It kind of is. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to start this off, Rob. I think we're about to see probably the biggest swap of giving up a quarterback who's been holding a franchise down to draft the rookie, to bring in his dad, to go in here because his dad is a Dallas legend, to coach the team and hope that they can bring and Shador can go out here and win 10 to 12 games his first season, and they can say, how about the Cowboys, and hopefully he can win a playoff game and then get knocked out in the next round, which is what I think is going to happen.
So you have them traded up?
Yes. I think if this prime thing is going to happen, because reports have come out with Deion saying, I'm not going to let him be at multiple teams. I'd like to coach my son wherever he goes. I see the one time Jerry Jones playing to get something that he wants is going to be possibly with Deion Sanders saying, well, Deion, what do you think we need to do? And me, I'm going to tell you guys what I think he's going to do. I personally believe that Tennessee is not picking Shador Sanders, number one. I see Tennessee doing Tennessee-type shit and picking Cam Ward as the number one draft pick in this draft.
I agree.
And then you may say, well, what about the Browns at the number 2 pick? Let me explain something to you guys right now. I just want you to look at me. Look at my homie, Rob. Okay? And I want you to sit down, and there's a picture. I want you to type this in. The list of quarterbacks the Browns have had since Tim Couch. Some of y'all don't even know who the hell Tim Couch is. Okay? The Browns are going to do their damnedest to not move on from Deshaun Watson right now. Okay? So, hold on. I'm explaining why, bro. I'm explaining why. Ameer Abdullah can replace Myles Garrett. Okay? If Ameer Abdul, he can replace Myles Garrett. If he decides to walk, because Myles Garrett is talking about walking, if he decides to walk, they're going to draft him now and say, okay, Myles, we're going to build, we're going to retool the defense for the future, and we're going to bring this young kid in. Okay? Even though they're hopeful that Deshaun Watson will make some sort of comeback, and look.
You said Ameer, Abdulia.
Abdul Carter, my bad. I don't know why I'm thinking Ameer Abdul. Something I was watching. Abdul Carter, my bad. Sorry, Browns fans. Abdul Carter is who you're going to draft, okay? Abdul Carter is going to come in and replace Myles Garrett. Or I believe that this is what they're thinking, because they don't know if Myles is going to stay. Because let's be real. Let's just be real with each other right now. Y'all looking at me and Rob. When have the Browns ever done some shit right? Okay? Just win. You can go ahead, Rob. You can go ahead and...
I try to keep this show to like an hour, hour and a half, maybe. We're going to need a day or two, so... I don't think I got that for you.
There you go. Okay? So, Abdul Carter is going to the Browns because they're not sure if Myles Garrett is going to want to stick around. Okay? That simple. You have him. At some point, you see he's good. You can say, Myles, well, look, bro, we got another guy. Go ahead. Ideally, you'd like to keep both of them. But with setbacks already happening with Deshaun Watson, I don't see what could happen. Now, if there is going to be a secondary quarterback in that position, I think it's going to be Kirk Cousins. I think he's going to pop up as a Brown. He kind of fits their motto.
Of torn Achilles? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the route I'm going. And y'all can call me bad for doing that if y'all want, but he fits their model of torn Achilles and washed up quarterbacks that they are going to pick up to try to do something with. I ain't give a damn what any of y'all Brown fans think, because look, my team is still in the playoffs right now. Y'all ain't sent for the playoffs in so long, I ain't gonna hear nothing.
Say talk your talk, dog.
Yeah, bro, y'all can't tell me that. So y'all are gonna fade the dice because Deshaun Watson already had a setback.
Yep, gonna be probably out for this season.
Yeah, what's the likelihood of him being back? Oh yeah, we are in January, but do you know how fast the end of the year will pop up on you?
Mm-hmm.
Because he has to start training at some point. Could he be ready? Yeah, sure. Could he recover? Yeah, sure. But do I think he's gonna recover? Nah.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. If he recovers, I'm probably going to buy probably 10, 15 Mega Millions tickets. I might shoot my breeze at that big pot over there.
Yeah.
Just like the Blue Jays. See, but they only buy one. I'm going to buy 10 or 15.
Fair point.
So this is where I see this happening. I see this happening right now. And then the third pick is going to be the Giants. Well, if you look at the Giants' offensive lineup, it's not really that bad. Devin Singletary, Malik Nabers, they got a few weapons. Quarterbacks just ain't been good. They got okay weapons. Quarterbacks just ain't been good. Okay? So what do we do? They do Giants shit now. They give up their pick to swap. And this is what I believe that the price is going to be. It's going to be Dak Prescott and that 3-12 swap for them to get something out of the first round and get in somewhat franchise quarterback. Okay? Because the one thing about this draft is there's value in running backs and receivers this year. There's a lot of value in running backs and receivers. But we know the guy who throws the ball, kind of a dime a dozen. It's not too many of them that's going to be, right now starters that you willing to kind of put your franchise in the hands of. And I believe that if Dallas doesn't make the swap, I want to know what's going to be the pitch to get Deion, because Deion kind of wants to coach his son. Is it going to be a all you're revitalizing the Dallas brand?
Well, here's the thing though. Let's take a pause here. He has more than one son. So, I mean, when he says he wants to coach his son, Shiloh going to be right there in, like, the sixth, seventh round. So, I mean, even if you say, like, all right, he wants to coach his son, I'd be like, look, here you go. Like, we could basically take a flyer on Shiloh. Like, our secondary is right there. If he basically, like, he could be a camp invite. He could be a lot of things. And you still got that same thing. But what you telling me?
You know good and well Deion is not going to let the people play on his top like that when they say he want to coach his son. He know which son he want to coach, Rob.
Hey, look, I'll be like, look, you got to basically make it plain. You got to make that uncomfortable. That's on you. You said you want to coach your son. Here's a son. Like, it's right. You've been coaching both of them. So why don't you just coach? He followed you from Jackson State just like Shadur did. So, I mean, if you want to coach your son, like, he's right there. And he wore your number while he was in college. And he basically is more similar to your position than he is to fucking Shadur. So, and I was the one that was saying they should basically trade up to draft Travis Hunter, who is more like his surrogate son. So, I mean, I would be like, look, find a way. And I think that one, that's the more easier thing because I get what you're saying with your, and I mean to interrupt. Like, did you see more in the tank for that?
Not a little bit more, but you can go ahead.
So what I would say is, like, it's going to be easier to get Travis Hunter than get Shadur because those, even if the Titans are going to pick Cam Ward, the Giants really need a quarterback. The Browns need a reason for people to come there. And unless they going to go free agent quarterback, which they don't really have the money to for real, they going to have to go. Now, New England, probably not going to go corner. Jacksonville, looks like they might go corner, so you can basically go at them because then you can have them trade back and they can get somebody else. But I'm just saying, like, it's going to be much easier to get, say, Travis Hunter than get Shadur. It just is.
Believe that they're going to shoot for the moon. And you know why? Because silly shit has happened and silly shit always manages to happen for some way in this draft, Rob. Yeah, and the minute we start throwing stars around, the most ridiculous crap happens.
That is true.
Do we not remember whenever there was a certain quarterback who didn't want to go to the goddamn San Diego and wound up in New York because his last name was Manning?
Yeah, but that was like one of two situations ever. And I mean, do you think Deion has that kind of cachet though? But granted, go ahead.
I don't think it's going to be Deion. I think it's going to be this old man that we know, Jerry Jones, who wants this done so bad that he's willing to take a chance on his former player who's had success in college, that I'm going to give you the reins, and he's going to say, I want this.
Then how about... Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you can go ahead.
Then how about this? Instead of Abdul Carter... What if they say they trade Micah Parsons for the number 2 overall pick?
I don't think that they're going to trade Micah. And you know why? Because I think, now, I got another theory on what they could do with Micah, but I don't think that they're going to trade Micah because I think he believes that he needs that defender at that level to get this done. Nah, me personally, I feel like ever since he started being on the podcast, his production slightly dipped. That's just me. But could it happen? We don't know because, like I said, it's about to be a crapshoot. The nuttiest shit is about to happen. If I believe Deion goes in full DEFCON 1, he's going to Dallas. I feel like we're about to see. Look, we about to see squirrels swimming through alligator pits and making it out on the other side. We about to see fish flying. We about to see birds swimming underwater. We about to see a whole bunch of crap fly to get this done in Dallas. Do I think it can be done? Yes, because you know who has one of the loudest voices in that goddamn NFL owners group? His ass.
That's true.
And we all know Jerry get on the radio and yell from the top of the mountain. This is the same man, Rob, that said if he is two things he'd write a check for on this earth. Another championship and a ticket to heaven. And the last time I checked, God don't take money, bro. So he can use his well that championship right now, okay?
Yeah.
So we about to see how bad he want it. Because if I'm Deion and you want Shador, well, Jerry, look, you want me to come over there? I'm gonna need X amount of dollars. I'm gonna need you to take that pick. And yeah, I want my son at quarterback. So look, it's gonna take. It might take me a few years to get this done. But Dak is like 30. He only got maybe 5-6 left in him. Go ahead and trade him. We're going to go ahead. We're going to get the young boy in here. You know, CD's young. This one's young. Maybe a year or so, we make a run, hit the playoffs, make a run at this championship. But we got time to make this. Jerry ain't thinking about his clock at that point. He's going to look at my investment is young right here.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably got enough, you know, money. He might be able to afford a few hearts. You know, he can do his thing. He's going to look at that part of it. And that's what I believe is about to happen.
Mm-hmm. Because
if he want Deion, we know Deion ain't cheap. Mm-hmm. We know Deion ain't cheap.
That's true.
And who else are you going to get the coach right now?
I mean, you could probably, well, there's plenty of candidates out there that's better than Deion. You got Ben Johnson that's over there at the Lions. You got Brian Slowak. Bobby Slowak. You think
Ben is going to want to deal with the headache of Jerry Jones?
If he gets paid, yeah.
Well, yeah, you're right. If enough money, I'd deal with a headache.
Because think about Deion's ego. You think Deion wants to deal with Jerry Jones? Like, I think of it as like this. Every owner has some kind of meddlesome in it. It's just Jerry Jones is just the loudest. And so, like, when it comes to having to deal with that, I think if these cats are getting paid more than their offensive coordinator money, they're going to basically be like, okay, well, this is just something I got to deal with. And when you got, like, say, a Ben Johnson coming out of the Lions, Bobby Slowick mm-hmm. coming out of Texans.
That's
when you
Texas.
Got when you got like say Aaron Glenn, you know, I think Aaron Glenn is more slated for the Saints job.
Yep.
But like, you know, I had to throw him in for affirmative action, even though they killed that shit. It's got to basically be the worst. You're gonna have somebody to basically be like, all right, I need to run this, and it might be the worst as long as they're successful. And as long as that offense is clicking and humming and the defense start playing and they install a lot of good shit. And then, you know, the house that Jerry built is rocket. He's going to give a fuck, but not as much of a fuck as it basically is that he got to explain why they keep losing. So, I mean, yeah, I think anybody would do it. And we also, yeah, it just depends. It just really depends.
And I wonder if he's learned his lessons from the Bill Parcells days.
I doubt it. Oh, that nigga's
He probably just is stubborn. But I do think that part of it is you got to have respect. Like, Jerry mm-hmm. has to be able to respect you, and I think he's going to respect. Look, I'm going to say something, and I want a lot of y'all to think about this. How many of these owners do y'all think really respect some of y'all head coaches? Like, they really respect. It's some. Don't get me wrong. I ain't saying it's none. It's some that may respect their head coaches. But it's three motherfuckers that come to my mind whenever I think about the level of respect that they may have for their coaches and what they're willing to deal with. It's Jerry Jones, because he's not afraid to pay your ass and tell you go home. Okay. I feel like David Tepper just got anger issues. Ain't working out like he wanted to work out. He's mad. And Robert Kraft, I feel like, has probably the tightest wallet in American history. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's him and an old boy off of, and Terry Crews' character up off of Everybody's Hates Chris. Them two motherfuckers is in the running right there for the top. Right there.
Mm.
It's just them two. They're alone at the top with that one. They like Mike and LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
They probably the only two people I know that could probably sit on a penny and give you like 3 pesos or some shit. Yeah, you're going to be like, how the hell you get this? But this is where, that's where I look at those three particular owners. Just straight up now. But one that I think is willing to spend his money and he probably spend it on some stupid shit, or would he feel like he can win? Goddamn Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones couldn't have been a billionaire in 2020 and been 30 years old. You know why? Because Jerry Jones would have been the one owner. Damn, I'm trying to remember. Dan Bisbin, who had all the wild parties and shit like that, I think is his name.
Who is he for?
Nah, he was a guy. He was a millionaire. He did all. He'd have these wild parties and all kind of crap. Anyway, I think if Jerry was 30 or 35 right now and a billionaire, that's the type of crap I think we hear about a Jerry. Jerry's World had 100 of the baddest strippers in there, popping it, they're making it rain from the ceiling and some shit. Type of shit I think he'd be on.
I mean, shit, they had, the White House back in the day? Like, basically, it was just a White House in the middle of nowhere, Texas, that basically the Dallas Cowboys would just go in and just do a lot of shit that, like, remember the scene from Any Given Sunday? Where basically they had the house party, and it's like you had Lawrence Taylor do a coke off. I can't remember all of it. But I think that was modeled off of that.
Yeah. And I believe that's who he would be if he was younger in 20. I promise you.
He probably was doing that shit at 50 when basically that shit was around.
These dudes been doing this shit, bro. They been doing this. Now, whether they want to believe it or not and how much he willing to spend is up to him. Because me personally, I believe if he want Deion, he going to let Deion have his way, bro. He's going to let Deion have his way.
We'll see.
Now, moving on. We have to talk a little bit about college football because the first thing me and Rob are going to tell you is the 12-team college football playoff was a success.
Absolutely.
Now, I'm going to look right at the camera and tell y'all this. Now I need all y'all cheap motherfuckers out there to pay everybody. Pay everybody.
Greedy asses. Pay them.
Pay them. That's it. Pay them. That's my message to y'all. Y'all know y'all making money. Pay them.
Pay these cats for what they've done. Because these cats are not really... Like, people keep talking about NIL, NIL, NIL. Dog, that shit is flimsy. Put some money in these motherfuckers' hands, all right? I know revenue sharing is basically starting to come into play and everything like that. But put some actual, factual, guaranteed money in these motherfuckers' hands. Especially if they're doing that. You're already doing the revenue split as far as the team or as far as the schools go. Have it go straight to the players. Have them getting paid. Don't make it on some consignment shit. Have it to where these motherfuckers are getting paid for the services they are rendering. All these motherfucking, like, every fucking play is sponsored. Every fucking commercial break got a commercial break. Y'all got the money. Give it to the players.
Yes. So now we need y'all to pay. Now, will this lead to expansion? Hell yeah, Ron.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
We both know this is about to lead to expansion.
It's just how much and how and when. Because a 2014 playoff is probably going to be in the next 2-3 years. I have zero doubt about that. In no more than 3 years, we're going to have 24 teams in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're going to figure out. Because you know what they're going to say? Double the games, double the money. That's the first thing they're going to say. Double the games, double the money, guys.
They're also going to be like, man, look, we got to incentivize these cats to stay playing. Because the thing about the bowl season, you get as some of y'all watched, a lot of these teams had people that opted out or were only playing a half. At least if you got a bowl, or at least if you got the playoffs themselves, that's going to incentivize these cats that have, you know, that are worth a damn, that basically are going to go in the NFL draft, stay and play in these playoffs. What's going to happen is, though, and I don't know if this ever going to come to a point, it's going to be, we're going to have a conversation about what actually matters. Because the thing about it is, it's always a kind of a mind fuck to me, because like these cats will stay and play in the 4-team and 12-team playoff to play for a national championship, but they won't play in the bowl games. And the reason why I think it's a mind fuck is that the whole thing about not playing in the bowl games, outside of, like, say, your coach leaving, outside of, you know, going to transfer portal, is your ass basically trying to say, I'm trying not to get hurt for the NFL draft. If your whole thing is about the money that the NFL draft is going to bring you, why play for a national championship? Like, why not, after the season ends, leave? Because overall, like, It shouldn't matter whether you're playing in game 14 or game 14, 15, and 16 as far as when you could get hurt and fuck up your own money. Like, we're about to have the national championship tomorrow. Like, or not tomorrow, Monday.
No, it's Monday.
Yeah. Like, we basically, well, by the time y'all see this, it might be tomorrow, you know. But no, we're going to have the national championship game Monday. Like a lot of those cats, some of those cats are going to basically be in the NFL draft. Why is it to where it's important to basically play for the national championship but not play with your teammates in a bowl game? I don't understand that. But the thing about it is, when if you expand this and now you got more of these cats still playing with these teams and putting more wear and tear on their bodies and all like that, are we going to have the same amount of opt-outs? I don't know. But I think that that's going to be the incentive to basically expand it, is that you're going to get the top-of-the-line players staying in to basically play more games and play in the playoffs. But the same point where we started out, and I'm going to say it, look in the camera. Like, y'all need to look at us. Look at us and come here. Pay these dudes what they owe. Give them their money so they basically, these cats can either feed their families, feed themselves, get compensation for what they basically did. Not just some, you know, DVD player that's going to break in a year. Give them some motherfucking greenbacks in their hand.
Yes. Hell, if y'all got to come up with a winner salary and a loser salary just to make this, like, competitive, do it.
Yep.
Just do it.
Yep.
Make it happen. Make it happen. And before we leave this, can y'all please get this conference shit together, bro? Just can y'all please get this together? Just do something. Y'all always figure out how to make the money, but y'all ain't figured out how to divide up these teams yet.
Not at all.
Y'all can't delegate two people and feed them lunch and shit and say, look, bro, we need y'all to figure out how to do this again, okay? And just put them in the corner. That's y'all only task. Figure this out before this shit come back up, okay? Tell everybody where they gonna be, and we're good. That's all y'all gotta do. This is yep. y'all are constantly making this way too complicated, and y'all aren't doing anything about it.
Yep, not at all.
Just two people, bro. Mm-mm. Feed them lunch, pay them, tell them go figure out how to divide this up and be done with this. Cause y'all are fucking them. Y'all worried about that money. And haven't figured out how to put these people properly in these conferences.
Yep.
That's all I'm going to throw out there with that. Now, we have to talk a little bit of WWE before we leave. And it's dealing with who will be in the 2025 WWE Hall of Fame class. Rob, I see that we have some names down here. Starting with Demolition.
So Demolition are not in the WWE Hall of Fame, and that is an absolute travesty. I mean, granted, part of it probably is because Demolition was the quote-unquote ripoff of the Road Warriors, you know, that WWF had back in the day. But they were a great tag team. They added Crush and added, you know, Cass. They were tag team champions. They fought the Hart Foundation and a lot of these tag teams that was way back there in the 80s and 90s, like, they deserve to basically be in the WWE Hall of Fame. I'm surprised they haven't been. I can't give you a good reason why they haven't been, but they're not in right now. The next name I want to say, and these probably go, either one of these names are probably going to be the headliner for this Hall of Fame class.
Mm-hmm.
The first name, I don't know if they're actually going to let them do it, but it's the Big Show. The Big Show is still with AEW. Now, in the past, with certain things, when it comes to the different companies, like TNA, even though they now have a partnership with WWE, they would let, I think it was Ric Flair, when he basically was going for, no, was it Ric Flair?
Yeah, I want to say it was Ric Flair.
It was somebody. No, it was somebody else. It might have been Sting. It was somebody that was signed with TNA that actually let him come in to do the WWE Hall of Fame. It might have been Kurt Angle, actually.
Yeah, I'm about to say if it's TNA, it might be Kurt.
Yeah, so like, but basically let him do his Hall of Fame speech and everything like that, even though he was still signed with TNA. It was somebody like that. So they've done these kind of talent exchange kind of things, like, hey, I scratch your back, you scratch mine kind of things. I think they'll do that with Big Show, especially because of the honor that it is to be a WWE Hall of Famer. And you could basically say, you know, Paul Wright, Hall of Famer. I don't know if they call him Paul White. Or in the AEW, I haven't watched a lick of AEW in a very long time. And I'm not saying that as a badge of honor, it's just a factual truth. But I'm thinking that he's going to probably be in this year. The other name that I actually have come up, which he ain't doing shit, Batista. Like, Batista, now that the Guardians of the Galaxy is all over when it comes to his iteration of it. Drax, like, he ain't got no big name movies to promote. He is absolutely deserving to be a WWE Hall of Famer.
Yes.
Like, multiple time world champ. Part of the one of the biggest faction, which also was a, you know, four horsemen ripoff in Evolution. One of the more iconic characters within WWE. One of the most iconic entrances in WWE history with a ball. So that is a guy that absolutely deserves to be in.
Yes, he does. He does. He definitely does deserve to be in. Now, I see you also have Victoria up here. You think that she's going to slide through?
So, yeah, I want to say it was either last year or the year before or this year or something like that. They signed it to a Legends deal. So I thought that was going to be the precursor to her actually getting into the WWE Hall of Fame, because for a long time, she was kind of disassociating herself from WWE, disassociating herself from the Victoria character. I think this is going to be the time that they actually get her in, because she absolutely was a pioneer. That Widow's Peak finisher was a great finisher and everything. Like, she was actually big wrestling, like, back when it was, like, still in that, you know, before they actually had, like, before when it was just like, hey, bra and panties matches. Like, she was actually big wrestling out there, and she could get it. So, but, like, she basically is that person that, like, was an iconic person. Not as iconic as what she should have been. And in this day and age, if she would have came out, probably would have been one of the best in the company. But, like, she's absolutely deserving to be a Hall of Famer and should go in. The next name, I know it's going to probably shock a ton of y'all, but this guy's actually done a lot of work with WWE. And a lot of people don't know this name because he hasn't really been out all that much in the last, say, 20 years, really. Freddie Prinze Jr. And, like, some of y'all are going to remember that name, especially back in the early 2000s, because that motherfucker was everywhere doing a lot of different movies and shit like that. But Freddie Prinze Jr. was a big wrestling fan, huge wrestling fan, and actually wrote for WWE, like, a good amount. Like, I wish I pulled it up before the episode, basically, to say, like, what all he wrote. But he was actually one of the writers for WWE for a good while, just as a writer. Like, Patrice O'Neal was another one. I don't know if anybody remembers that name. Comedian, absolutely. I can't stress it enough. Watch Elephant in the Room. Patrice O'Neal is one of the funny. I, just a side track, because Patrice O'Neal did also write for WWE. He had one of the funniest comedy specials I have ever seen in my life. I mean, when I'm like gasping for air, like laughing. Like, I ain't never really do that too many times in, like, for a comedy special. But, like, Patrice O'Neal, Elephant in the Room, go watch it. Cannot say it enough. R.I.P. Patrice O'Neal. But Freddie Prinze Jr. was one of the writers for WWE. Wrote, I think, on Raw and SmackDown, stuff like that. Like, he wrote for a lot. He did a lot of creative for WWE and was a big WWE fan. But absolutely deserving to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. And last but not least, here's a name that basically has been showing up more, but I don't think people understand, like, his history. Ellering. Paul Ellering is basically one of the best managers, or one of the most iconic managers of all time. Started out, like, with the AWA, I want to say.
Yeah, he was AWA,
Yeah, like, bodybuilder type. He was Cock Diesel, and that's what helped him, basically, when he got his big managerial job with the Road Warriors. He was their manager. And it was just like, here's these big motherfuckers basically coming in and wrecking shop everywhere, because they were just big, three of the biggest human beings you ever saw in your life. And then when he basically started managing AOP, it was still the same thing. It was like, here's these big motherfuckers. Like, this must be something crazy. Like, I cannot fuck with this. You know, like, I can't really do anything against this. But no, Paul Ellering absolutely deserves it. I usually try to put at least one manager in, you know, and so I basically thought of, like, him as that. I couldn't think of, like, who would be the Warrior Award, because that's, I mean, I don't know what to do about that. But, like, I mean, it's always like different, because, like, one of the years I think they had Jarius Robertson, who's Saint, little homie that's a Saints fan. They had I think Dana Warrior. I don't even know if they still gonna do the Warrior Award. Because I know Shad Gaspar, who is a straight up hero, RIP. Saved his son from a drowning incident, but it cost him his life in the process. But yeah, it's like, I don't really know. So that's for them to decide on what they want to do. But essentially, yeah, it's Demolition, either Big Show or Batista will basically be the headliner. Victoria, Freddie Prinze Jr., and Paul Ellering, that's who I have for the 2025 Hall of Fame class, at least the predictions-wise. I don't know if they're going to basically do it. Haven't seen anything about anything, but just want to at least get the predictions out there.
Yeah, so those are actually, I feel like, are some solid. I feel like we got a solid list of predictions right there. But with all that being said, you guys already know what time it is. Me and Rob about to go get up out of here and go watch a little bit of this foosball. You know, we got a couple of games today, two more games tomorrow. But always remember, like, comment, subscribe, tell your people about us. Let's go road to 1,000 subscribers now from 100. We need them zeros behind it, baby. So keep pushing with us. Lock in with us. Remember, we're on all websites. We'll see how the TikTok shit works out. And we'll figure out where we'll move clips and stuff to, whether it be Threads or whatever it'll be. We'll keep you guys posted. But that being said, Rob, anything you want to say?
Good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. If you cannot find us on there, yeah, like Nate said, Instagram, Facebook, a Twitter, a Blue Sky. Trying to think of other ones, but basically you could find us anywhere. Look up Bruh Migos Pod. Anywhere. You know, like, look up in the sky, you might see us up there, dog. Like, you never know.
You might,
you know, like, but yeah, whether like this TikTok shit actually comes about, whatever it is, we're gonna keep y'all posted. We're gonna basically have shit out there, but yeah, go ahead, check those sites for our content. We're going to make it happen. You're going to be able to see this gorgeous face. And of course, YouTube. We still going to be here, baby. Like, YouTube will go down with the roaches, nigga, if the nuke pops off.
Yeah.
Like we going to be here, all right? So, y'all ain't got to worry about that. So, and I'm guessing something just happened in the game. So, we going to get to that.
It almost was a run back on the first play of the game. But I think, Kansas City had fumbled the ball, and I think they recovered it. But they almost had a run back from out the end zone. They're about on the... Oh, yep, they did recover the ball. They're on, like, the 27, about the 26, 27 on the first play of the game. You already know I got my homeboy winning.
Yeah, yeah. So and I'm taking the Texas. About here, though. We got to go ahead and get up out and watch these games.
Yeah, we'll catch you guys later. Peace.
Deuces.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Bruh Migos Podcast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.